This is the More Than Right podcast in association with the Tea Party Tribune. I'm your host, Stephen Z. Nemo.
Don't try to be a hero. You don't have to be a hero. Not for me.
I'm not trying to be a hero. If you think I like this, you're crazy. This is my town. I've got friends here. I'll swear in a bunch of special deputies, and with a posse behind me, maybe there won't even be any trouble.
You know there'll be trouble.
Then it's better to have it here.
That is a scene from the Western classic, High Noon. Town Marshal Will Kane, played by Gary Cooper, is newly married and ready to hand in his badge. That is, until he's told Frank Miller, the man he sent to prison for murder, received a pardon and is coming to town on the noon train, seeking revenge. Marshal Kane, who faithfully served the good people of Hadleyville, finds he is alone when everyone he thought was his friend refuses to lend a hand. Cliven Bundy is not a marshal, but he is a real-life cowboy. It's in his blood. Bundy runs a Nevada cattle ranch established by his ancestors in 1877. His 1,000-head herd graze on the grass and drink from the Virgin River on a 600,000-acre federal parcel administered by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, the BLM. The bone of contention, as far as the Bundy family is concerned, is that they see the grazing parcel as belonging to the sovereign state of Nevada and her people, not the federal government. Since the 1990s, the environmental lobby has sought to limit the use of federal lands for commercial benefit, using the Endangered Species Act as a pretext with which to return America to the Neolithic Age. Saving the endangered Mojave Desert tortoise, in Bundy's case, provided the pretext. According to the Reuters News Service, quote, "The dispute in Nevada came to a boiling point after environmentalists told federal land managers they planned to sue to protect a threatened tortoise whose habitat was being destroyed by grazing cattle," unquote. There is just one problem with this environmentalist narrative. According to the left-leaning Huffington Post, quote, "Federal funds are running out at the Desert Tortoise Conservation Center, and officials plan to close the site and euthanize hundreds of tortoises they've been caring for since the animals were added to the endangered species list in 1990, unquote. You see, the Bureau of Land Management funded the Tortoise Center, located in southwest Nevada, with fees imposed on land developers during the housing boom. In other words, it's not Bundy's cattle that are killing the desert tortoise. The Federal Reserve generated financial crisis of 2008, which killed the housing market, is also killing endangered species. It appears even desert reptiles benefit from a strong U.S. economy. And that brings us to the economic problem. High federal fees and limits on the number of cattle able to access reduced grazing lands are driving cattle ranchers out of business. Since 1993, Bundy has refused to pay federal grazing fees or to recognize the restrictions on the number of cattle allowed to graze on Nevada land. The Bureau of Land Management says Bundy owes the U.S. government around $1 million in unpaid fees and penalties. Bundy's dozen or so ranching neighbors, who paid the fees and abided by federal restrictions, have since been regulated out of business. Many believe, including Nevada's Democratic Senator Harry Reid, that Cliven Bundy hasn't a legal leg to stand on. After all, Bundy lost his case in federal court, not once, but twice. However, Bundy correctly contends that settlers, like his ancestors, were enticed to Nevada with a promised use of federal land to feed and water their growing herds. Authoritarian Washington is going back on its promise, says Bundy. The Bundy saga took on a more ominous aspect when the Bureau of Land Management sent armed agents to secure all roads leading into the federal parcel and used helicopters and hired cowboys to round up Bundy's herd to sell as a means to recover the rancher's delinquent fees. This engendered outrage among area residents and out-of-state groups concerned by federal incursions into nearly every aspect of our lives. Supporters converged on the Bundy Ranch and launched loud protests at BLM checkpoints. Protesters were tased, and women were wrestled to the ground. Many feared federal officials were gearing up for an armed assault on the Bundy Ranch in the style of the ATF and FBI's 1993 attack on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, that ended in the deaths of 80 Branch Davidians, of which 22 were children. Two problems faced the feds, however. Many protesters were packing heat, and many more were armed with video cameras and smartphones to record abuses perpetrated by federal agents, uploading these clips to YouTube and other online websites. The government can no longer count on mainstream media blackouts, aka Fast and Furious, as providing an opportunity to commit atrocities against Americans. The whole world, as 60s lefties once said, is watching. Someone at the Bureau of Land Management did the math, realizing they had a potential public relations disaster on their hands if federal agents gunned down civilians on behalf of a tortoise, and like thieving rustlers of old, attempted to sell cattle bearing another man's brand. The situation came to a head when Clive Bundy's sons and a few friends saddled their horses and rode to the federal parcel to reclaim the Bundy herd. The Bureau of Land Management gave way. Neil Korns, director of the BLM, issued a statement to the press. Quote, "Based on information about the conditions on the ground, and in consultation with law enforcement, we made a decision to conclude the cattle gather because of our serious concern about the safety of employees and members of the public. We ask that all parties in the area remain peaceful and law-abiding as the Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service work to end the operation in an orderly manner." Unquote. A video posted to YouTube showed cowboys sitting tall in the saddle, driving Bundy cattle back to the ranch while supporters cheered. Clive and Bundy's son, Ryan, addressed the crowd.
The West has never been won!
Yes, the West has never been won. That's because the federal government forgot the old cowboy adage. If you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then to make sure it's still there with you. The federal government forgot that people are not cattle. Independent and free Americans will never yield to a government that attempts to brand and corral them. Unlike Marshal Will Cain in High Noon, Clive and Bundy had a lot of friends willing to stand with him against a malevolent intruder, and their digital devices allowed the nation to view the events in Nevada unfiltered by the government media complex. That point reminds me of what the late Andrew Breitbart told a Tea Party rally held near the Washington Monument, as chronicled in the documentary film Hating Breitbart.
Everybody put your cameras up in the air. Everybody put your cameras up in the air. Everyone put your cell phones and your Blackberries up in the air. We have a sea of new media here to capture the lies. Look at that, mainstream media, you bullshit artists. You hateful b****s! How dare you impugn these people's reputation? The new media is taking over where the old media failed. Yes, they failed, my friends. Yes, they failed.
It's like they say in the Old West. There's a time in a man's life when he needs to cowboy up and ride. Oh, and don't forget to pack a digital device in your saddlebags. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lori Tillman, and I'd like to be your South Florida real estate professional. Are you nearing retirement and want to relocate to where there is no state income tax and your money will go a lot farther? Or interested in buying a second home away from the harsh winter weather? Or investing in income-producing property and need someone to manage it? Let me help. Interest rates remain at a historic low. Let my knowledge and many years of experience make buying property fun and easy. I can provide you with email updates of available listings specifically tailored to your needs. Come to South Florida, the very best living under the sun. Visit me on the web at www.laurie-tillman.southfloridamls.com or email me at laurie.tillman@gmail.com. You can always call me at 954-830-5340. Again, that number is 954-830-5340. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing and working with you.
Conservative pundits were of two minds concerning Clive Bundy's confrontation with federal authorities. On the one hand, they felt sympathy for a man and his family whose traditional way of life was threatened by a collectivist government determined to regulate rugged cowboy individualists out of existence. On the other hand, Bundy operated his ranch in direct violation of court orders. National Review's Charles Cook wrote, quote, "Bundy's story is that of a family that has raised cattle in the West before the automobile was invented, being turned into a grotesque social experiment. Nevertheless, as one of the better of those statesmen once said, this is a nation with a government of laws and not of men, and not the other way around. And it seems to me that this principle should not be considered null and void because one of those men happens to have an agreeable tale, a photogenic complaint, and a romantic genealogical past," unquote. Conservative talk radio host Glenn Beck spoke directly to the armed pro-Bundy protesters. Quote, "We can agree that the government is corrupt. We can agree that they are usurping the Constitution. We can agree they're bloated, out of control, they are spending our children, children's, children's, children's money. We can agree that they've pushed us to the brink. They've poked, they've prodded, they've taxed, they've regulated, they've lectured, they've mocked us. They have done everything, everything except set us on fire. I get that. I get it. But if you are provoking violence against the Bureau of Land Management, the post office, the dog catcher, I don't care, we don't have anything in common. I know you're frustrated. I know, but your frustrations cannot be allowed to boil over into anger, hate, and rage. That's what makes us human. The ends never justify the means, especially when they're violent means. Love and peace are the lasting answer. They always have been the answer. They always will be the answer," unquote. Meanwhile, scribblers on the left are apoplectic. Brian Jankunis at the Huffington Post wrote, quote, "Democracy has a place for social disobedience, but not for armed insurrection. Democratic social disobedience must take place in the model of Socrates, who willingly submitted to his execution for being convicted by an Athenian jury of subverting the youth through his teachings. Socrates' supporters urged him to flee, but he explained that as an Athenian citizen, he must obey the laws of Athens, no matter how unfair," unquote. And Egberto Willis at the Daily Kos said of Bundy's supporters, quote, These guys are not patriots. They do not recognize the United States as their government. They do not respect the rule of law. They disregard the rulings of the courts. Why are they called patriots? They are called patriots because many allow them to get away with it. In not pushing back, it becomes a reality for many, unquote. First, the notion that America is a nation of laws and not men is frankly debatable. We have a president that unilaterally amends his dictatorial health care law without congressional approval, so it won't adversely affect his political party's electoral prospects later this year. The Congress passed the president's 2,700-page law unread, which, as it turns out, allowed unelected federal bureaucrats to write enough Obamacare regulations, laws really, to fill a 33,000-page manual. Attorney General Eric Holder says the Justice Department is all for states' rights when it comes to the sale of marijuana in states that elect to legalize it. But take states to court that pass laws that attempt to enforce existing federal immigration statutes. And the minions at the Bureau of Land Management were so fearful an environmental law firm would sue them, they used their regulatory lawmaking powers to turn grazing land, which feeds cattle that in turn feeds us, into a pagan shrine to a desert tortoise. And armed federal paper shufflers, with enough firepower to start a war, moonlighted as cattle rustlers in the service of these environmental Luddites. In Charles Dickens' novel, Oliver Twist, a judge informs the husband of a woman charged with a petty crime as being more guilty in the eyes of the law, for the law supposes that your wife acts under your direction. The flummoxed husband objects, saying, "If the law supposes that, the law is an ass, an idiot. If that's the eye of the law is a bachelor, and the worst I wish the law is that his eye may be opened by experience, by experience." Some among the right say the law is our master. The U.S. Supreme Court agrees, saying the government has the right to force us against our will to buy inferior health care insurance at great cost. The left says the measure of a patriot is their willingness to drink the lethal legal hemlock of government abuse, like the Greek philosopher Socrates, no matter how unjust. The law, as Dickens said, is an ass. America declared its independence from Great Britain to assume, among the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Thomas Jefferson acknowledged a higher law than those passed unread in Washington, the law of self-determination endowed to each of us by our Creator. Washington's creeping authoritarianism is the result of a Faustian bargain made by the American people, who said, "Give us the semblance of financial security, and we will surrender, piece by piece, our self-determination and that of our neighbors." Like the judge in Dickens' tale, disastrous Obamacare and events in Nevada should open the eyes of the American people by experience, by experience. So, you ask, do I believe an armed revolution against the authoritarian abuser in Washington? No. That's because the laws that now abuse us and diminish our liberties can be revoked. The American people have the power to peacefully revolt by electing lovers of liberty and the Constitution. From the law-enforcing county sheriff to the law-making representatives in Congress, the country can still be saved, if it will only save itself. Glenn Beck recently observed that the American colonists tolerated the abuses of their British rulers for 40 years. They sent emissaries to London in an attempt to resolve their disputes with a distant and arbitrary government. It was only after all peaceful avenues were exhausted that the shot heard round the world was fired at Concord's North Bridge. Ironically, the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that Washington has about 30 to 40 years before the nation's entitlement spending and debt brings the country to its knees. Imagine the level of social unrest that will erupt when Americans who sold their freedom for a government handout suddenly realize, too late, they have neither. At that point, the law of the land will transmute into one that is ancient and all too powerful. The law of the jungle. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with family and friends. You can visit us at teapartytribune.com. Contributions to the Tea Party Tribune are greatly appreciated. Until next time, this is Stephen Z. Nemo.